W6N, 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 calling G7W. How do you hear me? Over.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Josh Shakespeare Podcast. I'm Josh Shakespeare. I wish all of you could understand how angry I am right now, but just at how hard it was just to record this episode in particular. Just because, you know, for the past few days, I mean, I have a schedule. I'm supposed to record every Thursday, but because of scheduling conflicts, I've had to record on a Saturday, which is what today is, on top of me pushing myself into getting other things done. I wanted this episode to be titled The Road to 20 Episodes just because, just for a little backstory, I saw an Instagram reel by this rapper named La Russell or L.A. Russell. He has one song that I really enjoy. And if maybe you're up to date on the L.A. rap scene, you might have heard of him just because he's, if I understand correctly, he's done a very DIY form of making just a new song almost every other couple of days and then posting it and then doing live concerts and then just sort of creating a fan base from the ground up with social media. And I think either he created his own record label or I just know that he did it all by himself, and he wasn't necessarily pushed by any particular label. And on top of his success, he recently got over 1 million followers, 2,200 posts on Instagram, and throughout the past few months, he's just been dropping knowledge on how to produce content and on how consistently you're supposed to do it. Now, he posted a reel that I perceived as a sign, which was to post, make 100 of something. So he said, you know, make 100, because, you know, and his logic was very accurate, which is that, you know, when you start at zero, you're going to be way different than when you get to 100. Like 100 of something, you're going to be very, very different. Life may be different when you get to 100. And I go, okay, where I'm at right now in my life, I thought to myself, well, you know what, let me just do 20. Because on top of that, I've spoken about this on my previous podcast that I've spoken about this before on the show, but the 100, to get to that would heavily take away from everything else that I'm doing because I'm on top of that, I'm also doing stand up and then writing for and then posting every day on social media, doing those skits and stuff. And there's still a routine that I need to work out on top of that. Because, I mean, mind you, I'm recording this on a Saturday. I was supposed to record this on a Thursday, and this is me in the routine. So that just goes to show you just how chaotic this entire thing that I'm doing is, just the craft of it. But I had said previously on the show that they did a statistic about it. Most podcasts last for about 10 episodes. Everyone does at least 10 or 9, and I did 9, and then boom, that's it. Just they just fail, they just stop producing, and I was like, okay, I want to be in the top 100 percentile of podcasts that do more than 10 episodes. I was like, all right, let me just do 20. The next episode after this is going to be one with a comedian that I'm friends with, I've known for since the pandemic, because that's when I think I met him. And he's always been a good friend. He's always been, you know, chill with me. He's supported me a lot. I've supported him a lot. His name's Forrest Wheeler. Hopefully we can get him on the show. And he did tell me that he is planning on moving from Los Angeles pretty soon, which made me very sad because I've been doing this for 5 years now. And I was talking to some friends about this the other day because they had asked me, because they were 2 years in, both of them, and then I was 5 years in. So I'm younger than them age-wise Because, you know, one was 28, and I think the other one was 29, and then the other one was like 32 or something. And then I'm 25, but like I'm older than them in comedy years. I'm younger than them in human years, but I'm older than them in comedy years. And it's just looking at the three of us together, you would not expect me to have the most experience. But they asked me, you know, what have you noticed in the span of 5 years that you've been doing this? And, you know, one of the things I said was, is that friends move away, which is truly, which is very, very unfortunate. It's very, very sad. And it's obviously not just a comedy thing, but whoever, you know, wherever you are in your life when you're listening to this and whoever you're friends with, you know, hold on to them as much as you can, but definitely understand when it's time to let them go, when it fizzles out, when it's time to move on. It's a very, the journey is wild. That's what I'll say. The journey is wild. It's not what you think ever. It feels way, way different than what it actually, than what you thought it would be in your head. On top of seeing friends move away, I've had a few people pass away. I've had a few people die. I've had like one or two people kill themselves. I have a few friends that have been canceled because of that narrative that people have where they say, oh, you guys think canceling is when, you know, the person disappears and you never see them again. But it's actually like, and it's actually like they get canceled and then they come back. And I go, yeah, it's both. Like I've done sketches with someone. I don't want to name them, but one of the people that I've done sketches with before in the past, they got canceled and then they just did a soft quit. And then now you just kind of don't really hear about them. But it really just goes to show you, because that was one of the things I said, was you see people move away, you see people unfortunately pass away in all different types of ways, and then another thing on top of that is you see people fall off. That's like one of the saddest things to watch, especially if you feel like you're experiencing a falling off, which I low-key did. I'm, I think, self-aware enough to admit that. You notice that, like, I just know I feel different. Some people might disagree. I do have people that, I'm even talking to someone right now that is listening to the podcast that was like, no, this is great. I think it's very funny. I think it's great. But I just know that I feel very different now than from when I started. And maybe everybody else feels the same exact way, because you know how they say, well, you know, the spark of creativity and motivation is kind of gone from a lot of the art that you see. So it could be very much other people that are also experiencing this. But I just remember that there was like this almost freshness. There was almost this vivacious gusto to how I did the craft and how the craft felt around me versus now. And yeah, I'd probably say the pandemic is what did it. And ever since, I've just been trying to rekindle that flame or try to make it seem as if it's just as hot and fresh as it was back then. But I mean, hey, I think that's just, now that I look back, that was just the 2010s. You know, the spark kind of died when we hit 2020. And I was talking to my friend about that too the other day, where it's like, dude, the 2010s, looking back and the further we get away from it, was such a good decade. It was a fantastic decade. And then it just came crashing and burning around September 2017. And then from there all the way, I've spoken ad nauseum about exactly what happened on September 2017. That was like the 9/11 of the creative industry and in Hollywood and stuff. But from that point all the way up until now, it has just been on a very precipitous decline. And it's unfortunate. So I've seen people fall off. I've seen people who were hilarious get less funny. I've seen people who had promising futures get stuck in a project and then just become something else or someone else entirely. And then on the other side of that, they just kind of stop. I've seen another thing too. I mean, you know, and this, I guess, is very motivational, but there are many, many people that I used to go to open mics with at certain spots all around Los Angeles that I would see on a day-to-day basis 3, 5, 4 years ago when I first started, that are now going out and selling out shows, that are going on the road, that have become very, 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 very successful, that are on television shows, that are guest stars or co-stars or the leading people on television shows, that have more followers than me. You'll see a lot of people pass you doing this. You'll see people, and another thing too, I mean, that's the new era that I'm in right now, where and you have to make, you have to, it's very difficult to not get jealous. You do understand that it is all internal. It all happens inside of you. And another thing that I'm noticing now, the phase that I'm in now, is watching young people, in particular women. I notice it's primarily women, not really any guys, because, I mean, I guess that there's a role that plays into that. But they'll show up, only have been doing this about like a year, 2 years, and they're booked on every single show at every single comedy club and opening for features and headliners and main acts and, you know, helping produce their podcasts and going on the road with them and headlining. And they'll be way younger than you in comedy years wise, and they suck just from a because there's a difference between being like, okay, I wish I had that, and then there's another thing where it's like, okay, even if I did have all those things that you have, I can still, from a craftsman's perspective, look at your act and go, this is absolute garbage. Which is fine. That's not the end-all, be-all. There's obviously room for them to grow. But when you see them have that, and then it's just a never-ending effort to see the success that they have on social media, and then you have to keep checking in with yourself, sans therapist, but with maybe ChatGPT, and being like, yeah, their success does not mean my failure, and right, and you're right, it's a marathon, not a sprint. That was another lesson that I learned at the end of that as well. That was another lesson that I learned, that I'm learning now too, on top of that, where it's just a lot of it is not, you know, how far you can go, quote unquote, so much, or how much you can do, but really just how long you can last in this game. That was another thing that I'd said to my friend, that my other comedian friend, about this a while back. It really just, it does depend on how long you can last, because as I said before, I mean, you'll look around and then everyone around you, the things will just be completely different. It's one of those, and it's very, it's very much like not literary device, or like a, this is like a storytelling device, or like a narrative device, where it's like, I wish I could go on Sunset Boulevard right now and just stand in front of the Strip, like a building, 5 years ago, and then do that like time lapse you see, and you know, in like those introspective comedy shows, maybe like Master of None, or like maybe like Louis or something like that, just so you could see just how different things were 4 to 5 years ago, where you drive. I've been driving down the same streets to go to open mics and do comedy shows for 5 years now, and I'll catch myself being like, oh wow, I remember when that building was a coffee shop. I remember when there was nothing there. I remember seeing them work on this, and then now it's finally finished. I remember, you know, waiting outside to go to that open mic right there. And it's been demolished since COVID. Now it's in the middle of being built as an apartment complex, and there's a guy getting stabbed outside. So it is a very introspective phase that I'm in right now. The road to 20 episodes. This has been one of the most excruciating things I'd ever done. My intention on doing this was to get funnier, grow more of a fan base. Because another thing that led into me doing this was because I'd also had what I perceived to be another sign to get back into my podcasting, because I was, I'd watched this interview of this guy who did the marketing for Andrew Tate. More on the Tate brothers in a minute. And I spoke with him directly, and he just goes, well, you know, you are very funny. However, short form content is not enough. You need long form content. He said that, not that the interviewer, he said it to me in particular, but he goes, you need like long form content so that they can trust you and feel like they really know you and stuff. And I go, okay, so, and that is what I want. I want merch. I want millions of views on an episode. I want tons of laughing emojis in the comment sections of my posts. I want catchphrases that people repeat to their friends or say to me, or, you know, when I'm walking down the street or on a t-shirt, or say it in the comment section. I want that. You know, I want cool thumbnails with my, where I'm just like looking very surprised and pointing at an inanimate object. I want a cool font. I want reels. I want YouTube shorts that take what I say out of context, but is still very funny. I want all that. And we, on the way to doing all that, just to get to that point, I was like, all right, let me just get back into my podcast and do that. After 20 episodes, and I was like, instead of doing 100 as LaRussell instructed, I'm just going to do 20. Let me just get to 20, and then from there, we'll figure out if I want to keep going more consistently or if I want to take a break. And I will definitely be taking a break after this because I am exhausted. I am angry and annoyed. And I understand now a lot of the episodes that you've seen me do so far, I'm sure there's been some technical difficulties. I'm sure there's been some mistakes. Even I'll go back and listen to some of these episodes and I go, okay, the audio was not good here. I was a little bit too low on the mic. I should have monitored that, et cetera, et cetera. On top of all the things that I want and on top of what I've done so far, another intent that I've had is I've wanted to get funnier at this. You know, instead of waiting for someone to pick me up as a writer and write for their show, why not just employ myself and write jokes for my own show? And I've done just that. And it has made me 10 times funnier, I'd say. It's made me, I've noticed that I'll get into conversations with people and I'll make them laugh. I'll measure the laughs per minute from now to before I hit this as heavy as I could. And I've noticed definitely, yeah, my hit ratio has gone up. And that's from, because on top of that, I sat to myself and I was like, all right, how can I be the Mike Tyson of this? You know, because I love working out. I love training like a professional fighter. And the coach that introduced me to this peekaboo style would have me do all different types of workouts with just 5-pound dumbbells that'll absolutely destroy you. And I was like, all right, what is the podcasting version of that? What is the stand-up version of that? What is the Instagram and TikTok version of that? And for the past month, literally maybe a month, maybe a month and a half, I've just been doing that in every which direction. And it really just goes to show you like just how the days are long, but the years fly by analogy. Shout out to Dave Chappelle for that quote. But I went to my journal last night, and yeah, it's been a month since I journaled, almost. No, yeah, it's been a little bit more than a month since I've journaled. Last time I journaled was the day before my birthday, February 3rd. And my birthday's February 4th, but February 3rd is when I journaled. And I was talking about like how sad I was compared to now. I'm very angry. I feel very powerful. I feel as though, you know, I feel like, because my friend, you know, people have asked me like, well, what is doing this like? And I was like, it's like being a professional fighter, but for your brain. You know, in the span of just a month, I've transformed myself in many, many different ways, some for the better, a lot for the worse. I wouldn't go back and change anything. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished so far. I'm very proud of the thumbnails that I put together myself, the titles of the episodes that I named myself, the jokes that I've written for it, the attempts to create a schedule to do this as consistently as possible all by myself. Everything that you see me doing 90% of the time is just by myself. You know, I had to outsource recently and get a guy from the Philippines to edit my videos because everyone here charges you $60 to $100 like per hour just for like a 16-second video. And I get it. I used to edit video. I'm editing my own videos. This is a very time consuming process. That's why most of these episodes are audio only. And then another thing, and here's another reason why a lot of these episodes are audio only, is because I'd forgotten that the craft of podcasting was that this was audio only. A lot of you don't even remember that, right? It's like trying to explain Blockbuster to the younger generation, like, because time just moves so fast and technology and things advance at such a rapid pace that I, and a lot of you probably have forgotten, that a lot of the podcasts that you're listening to right now several years ago started out as audio only. You didn't see these people on the I was re-listening to the Mean Boys podcast, you know. Shout out to Keith, Tom, and Connor and the extended universe, which would have been, you know, Anna Venezuela and Opie and Ramsey and stuff, all of which are killing it. By the way, another example of what I'm talking about, if you just track where all those people that I just listed are in their lives right now. Just being in this business long enough, you know, they've kind of gone in every which direction, but back to my point, it was all audio only. The Tim Dillon show was one of the biggest reasons why he acquired such a huge fan base, because you would just sit back and you would just listen to him. It wasn't a situation where you had to go on YouTube and just kind of like watch him talk. It was just his voice was very particular. It was very distinct. It was very it was very schizophrenic, where he would go up and down and he would make it very wacky. Hold on. Is there anything you want to say to the audience?
Get some money up. They don't care about you. No one. And you're going to die alone.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. Have a good night, man. Yeah, man. Peace. That's my friend Jeremy Scipio. We're going to have him on the show pretty soon, eventually, if I ever come back. Pretty soon. Hopefully I come back soon. I might not take a break after 20 episodes, just because I'm using this as like a therapy session. But yeah, I was, he just called and he's returning my call. But, what a great lesson. That might be the end tag of this show. Who knows? Where was I? I was talking about just the ins and outs of doing this. I'm trying to figure out where I was five seconds ago. Going back into this, it was about just being as strong as possible mentally as I could, you know? I got kind of tired of kind of only going to the gym and not getting as fun. Like, I just wanted to be as funny as possible. Oh, you're all right, going back. And then, so a big reason why this is audio only is, number one, I mean, I've always wanted to work on my voice and strengthening my voice. And a lot of these podcasts that I fell in love with that have now gone on to become huge successes, it was audio only. It was you primarily listened and you primarily enjoyed podcasts through the podcast channel. And I think because the market unfortunately is so saturated with podcasts that have filmed where you film it, I'm like, well, you know, there might be there. I see an opportunity to just do strictly audio and then have that niche come back. I've always wanted to, and then this is a goal of mine, is to just kind of bring a resurgence to the comedy album, to just the album. Like, what if you just didn't see me, but you listened to what I was saying? Wouldn't that be better? What about that? Every podcast you do now, everyone that tries to start a podcast, they're like, well, we got to film it. No, we don't. We really don't. Like, the podcast, I mean, I'm just going to list all the podcasts that I listen to where I'm like, the reason why I love this show is because I listen to it first as opposed to watching it. and listening to it. So it's the Mean Boys Podcast, the Tim Dillon Show. And I just thought the Pete and Sebastian Show, truly hilarious, absolutely hilarious. The maybe I want to say maybe the Brilliant Idiots, right? These are all podcasts that I remember listening to, binge listening to 4 or 5 years ago, some of which when I was back in Connecticut, living here, dreaming about moving out here and doing this. And it's just, it's truly bizarre to watch all that kind of shift to where now every podcast that you see, they have to film it. They have to make clips of it and put it on social media of filmed versions. And I'm like, there's a pocket for that. I also see YouTube content creators where they'll like a podcast, they'll have a microphone, they'll have the setup, but they'll only do like 15 minutes on one specific topic, which is something that I want to eventually do in the future. But the editing that goes into that, where it's like, well, here's a photo of what I'm referencing, here's this, that, and the third. And it's like, it used to just be a stream of consciousness, and it used to be just a stream of wisdom that you would hear audio only, and you would enjoy it in the parking lot on your break from work or on your commute. You know, I think that that's a lost aspect of this craft, of the craft of podcasting. I think that's a lost art form, is just doing audio only, which is why I wanted it to come back, you know? And I did film the last few episodes, but that's just because I filmed the last one, and I think the one before that, just because I'm like, all right, let me put out a clip so that people can, you know, watch or listen to the show. But and that goes into another thing that I've learned from a marketing standpoint. I go, well, if I'm making visual clips of this supposedly audio only podcast, then that's just false advertising. People are going to go into the podcast expecting to see me and my friends shoot the shit for an hour each week. And I go, so I may need to edit it differently. It might just be different this time. But yeah, you know, this is road to 20 episodes, and it's been very, very excruciating. I've been actively putting myself through large amounts of stress just to do this by myself. You know, scheduling the, you know, people to have on the show, writing for the show, coming up with topics, and then spending my entire day and night thinking, or at least trying to come up with perspectives and jokes for the podcast and yada, 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 and all that. It's been very, very rewarding. I will say that delaying gratification and building things brick by brick and just enjoying doing that is another aspect of it that's lost. We truly, you know, as a species, have just been spoiled by this hyper deliver in less than 30 minutes time that we're in. We've been spoiled. Just because, I mean, I can't help but feel like if this were 25 years ago, I might value this process even more. But, I mean, yet again, a lot of that is also social media too, because every time I go on social media and I just scroll through and I just see people with their clips getting hundreds of thousands of views, and their Patreon being very successful, etc. You know, there's a bit of it where it's like, all right, why am I doing this? But I mean, even as I'm talking about it now, it really is just the journey. So, you know, I do want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you to the 4 or 5 people that have been listening to this. Yeah, I mean, my views have gone up. I will say that, which is cool. I got like 17 views on this on YouTube, you know, but I'm just, and I get it, because a lot of this is, it's more so for me than it is for anybody. It's for me first and then everybody else second. Cause if you go and you look at that, like, I don't even think anyone has even listened to the entirety of these episodes, except like maybe one person that I'm currently talking to right now. It's not like we're dating or anything. It's a woman, but she's just analyzing my content. Just of her own free will. So shout out to her. The only other person that ever really watches all my videos is currently having a schizophrenic break. So you're going to see less of their comments, unfortunately. But, you know, This was a very fun ride, but I do think that it's time for me to maybe go into something else related to comedy that makes me funnier. You know, maybe do more of those monologue things that I see people do on social media. Yeah. I will say that a positive is that just when you do anything like this as consistently as I've done it, posting every single day and then creating a schedule where you post this every Thursday, you write for that every Sunday, you study this every Monday, and then you do that and this, that, and the third, which is exactly what my calendar looked like. If you could look at my calendar right now, my digital calendar, you would have an anxiety attack. But I will say that you do, thankfully, it you do train yourself to value that outcome that I'm talking about less, with, you know, the millions of views and the Lamborghini and the bad bitch and the whatever. Like, you do start to see less of that and have less of an attachment to that and more just of an attachment to just the act of just one rep as opposed to the 25 or the 100, you know, focusing, as they say, you know, focusing and investing less on the outcome and more just on the act in and of itself. Yeah, just the attachment to the outcome grows less and less severe. That's something I've noticed as well. And I'm very thankful and I'm very proud of myself for getting there. You just got one more episode and then 20, and then, you know, I maybe look at it as almost like a season of the show. You know, we did 9 episodes and then now I was like, all right, let me do 20. So now we're at 19. And yeah, so we'll be right back with, Jesus, masculinity in this country. Jeez, you want to hear about that? All right, see you in a second. Okay, I'm back. Just got back from Santa Monica. For the first time in a while. It's been months. By the way, when I said I just got back, like, I don't mean like I stopped the podcast, went to Santa Monica, and then now I'm back recording the second half of the podcast. I literally just paused the podcast to look at my phone for a few minutes because, as I said before, I am exhausted. I had to take a break from talking. I came back from Santa Monica like an hour ago, and for the first time in a while, I went with my friend to go out and get girls' phone numbers. I did not get a single one. I did approach 3 times. It was 3 reps. 2 of the girls I wasn't really attracted to, and then there was like a 4th one that, like, she was kind of receptive, but I kind of opened by talking to the dog, which was kind of like a cop out. That is another thing that I'm doing, is just focusing on no more dating apps, no more anything else, just focusing all my attention on acquiring an authentic connection with someone in real life. Also, one of the most, I really am putting myself through, I'm really doing it to myself, aren't I? I really am. Because, again, one of the most excruciating things I put myself through. I don't know how some of you do it, where you're just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do this. I'm just gonna watch porn. Or I'm just gonna do that. Because I can't do it. Because when you go down that path, I mean, it's a very unrewarding, cheap fix, you know? The high does not last that long. There's still a void that you're trying to fill. But I mean, the kicker is just with how busy I am. Meaning, now when I say that, the things that I put myself through for the sole purpose of getting on my purpose and being a funnier comedian, being a better comedian, and connecting with more people, it does not lend itself over to spending hours at a time, which is what we did, going out and trying to get 5 phone numbers a day. which is what was advised to me by a friend, just to get better and have more opportunities and more options. I'd like to have more opportunities and I'd like to have more options, but just going about it that way, it always felt as if it got in the way of everything else that I'm doing. In fact, I used to go to Capital One Cafe almost every single day to write and edit this. That was like my office. I treated it like a second office. I made some new friends there. I visited some old friends that I hadn't seen in a while. But lately, I think maybe for the past month, I just haven't done it because I'm like, everything that I'm doing on top of the things that I added on to my already huge workload, I'm like, the time it takes to get there, find parking, and then walk from my car to there, by the time I actually find, and then finding a spot at this cafe, that's like an hour, 30 minutes of my time that could have been spent just doing it here in the house. But I said to myself, well, you know, I kind of want to just get out there. I just want to, you know, physically do it. And then if I'm really being honest with myself, with all the work that I've put in and going on the sobriety streak, the work that I've put in, I'm like, the only real reason why I'm even going there is because I'm hoping to run to meet someone there. But it's like, these are all Armenian women. They don't like me. They don't like black people. Kidding. I've been there long enough to where I understand, yeah, I'm not really getting any type of signals of interest from the women around me when I go here. It's like, the more I took a few steps back and I understood why I was going there, the more obvious it became that, like, I wasn't really supposed to, I don't really belong there, you know? It's like, these are med students. These are people that are studying to be lawyers. These are people that are studying to manage a proper business. I'm a comedian trying to get pussy over there. So it just, and I think those thoughts are very, very readable to other people when I go there. I could be wrong. It could be all in my head. But recently I've been told on a live stream, because I've also been TikTok live. That was another thing I've been doing for the past month that has taken up a lot of my time. I've been live streaming almost every day, Monday to Friday, for 4 hours, 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. Right? And then working out has suffered because of that as well. On top of being told that I have like a very vanilla personality, I was also told that my expressions are very readable. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian and an actor. So, you know, to be expressive like that, it pays dividends in this field. It makes you funnier. It makes you, you know, more animated. Right. But unfortunately, the downside of that is that there's no mystery when you talk to women. I mean, well, at least sane women, I guess. I mean, well, excuse me, mentally ill women. Women that are kind of like out to kind of dominate you because of social programming. We've socialized women to be men. So they look, you know, whatever. Or they're just kind of sussing out whether or not I'm a protector or provider, whichever you want to call it, whatever reason they do this. And I was told I was vanilla, and I was told, you know, and I had this like predictable personality type as well. And I haven't done this approaching thing in like a month or two, and I'm coming back and I did it again. And it was very, I feel like shit. I feel like garbage right now. That's another reason why I was angry as well, on top of not being able to do this when I wanted to do it. And I came back, we went out, and same growing pains, same as when I'm doing stand-up, same as when I'm, you know, you're not really into it because of the end result that I'm more so focused on, which is the result that I'm focusing on right now, which is I nut and she keeps sucking. So that's where I'm at now. And I jumped into doing this because I'm trying to substitute all of my poor negative habits to fill the void. I'm trying to substitute all that with just better, more time-consuming habits that that require very little dopamine. I'm trying to rewire and re-dopamine and re-regulate myself. But speaking of poor habits, I think, you know, because we're on the 19th episode, I think this calls for a mini celebration where I have been more than a week and a few days completely sober from cannabis, which I think is great. I was only doing it for, I was at a point, there's a little history. I think ever since 2023 started, and I'd spoken about this episode 3 or maybe episode 4, where I was just on the road, where I thought I had fallen in love with this girl that I'd met after I did a comedy show on the 1st of 2023. And then since then, I fell into this like deep depression. I got the gaps in my teeth fixed, and then I reached a point where I was doing edibles and staying in the house because the weather was just so horrible. Pretty much, I was doing edibles before bed almost every night. Sometimes 2 edibles because I developed such a tolerance to it before bed every night. And just watching my favorite movie, and then I would just fuck off. And then that became addictive, so I stopped. And I was like, all right, I'm only going to do it like once. And I went from that all the way up until now, where I would be like, all right, let me only do it once a week. And I was doing that for the past few months. And even that, which I attribute to my frontal lobes fully developing on my 26th birthday, I was like, yeah, even this is not rewarding. Even this is not fun. You know, I still understand the urge to do it because you're just so exhausted and you want to just reset the brain. I don't even want to do that anymore. The more time goes on and the more I don't do any of these things, the more it becomes like, all right, I could do it just as like a reset, but it's just when it comes to choosing your hard, choosing your battles, I'm like, I don't want to battle recalibrating my brain post getting high again. It's just so annoying. I've been there. I've done that. It's a very beautiful feeling. It's very blissful, but it's like putting a Band-Aid over a broken dam, you know? It doesn't feel good afterwards. And that's all I really focus on. So that's my advice to any of you who are maybe struggling with addiction or are trying to not go back into certain negative habits. You really have to focus on how you're going to feel after you get what you want, right? For the most part, I'm focusing on for not doing cannabis because I reached a point where I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it once a week. And even that became very strenuous because the several days after getting high off of an edible or off of just vaping it is just like, you lose a step. I like being sharp. I like being as sharp as possible. That's like, once again, going back to my boxer analogy, that's like a boxer who's a professional fighter that only smokes cigarettes on the weekends. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess moderation is good, but in the long run, you can't really compete with someone who never does it, you know, or just does not do it. Now, yes, there are tons of hilarious comedians. There are tons of comedians that are way funnier than I do that smoke. They're way funnier than me that have been doing this longer, that smoke weed and do edibles every day. But for me in particular, I'm just wired differently. For me, I have to feel like a professional fighter. I have to feel like a warrior. And one of the ways to do that is by just kind of not doing it altogether. At least that's where I'm at now. And funny enough, I saw a sketch the other day about like what happens to your brain when your frontal lobes fully develop. And it really does feel like you can feel your frontal lobes fully develop. Like you can feel it. It's very bizarre. But as they say, like, because other people have spoken about this, where they're like, you wake up one day and then you just feel different and you start thinking differently. That's what happened to me a little bit before, during, and after my 26th birthday. I was like, oh yeah, no, I can, you know, it's like when Bruce Banner transforms into the Hulk and you hear that like crackling noise, which is just some guy in a sound booth in a studio in Burbank somewhere breaking celery into a microphone. You can feel it. I felt my frontal lobes fully developed, and I was like, all right, weed on the weekends is kind of boring. Let's substitute that for something else. Let's reset another way, or let's add new workouts so we can be as strong as a comedian as possible. And I did that. So I'm off of cannabis now. I may come back. I don't know. We'll see. Another thing I've noticed too as well, and this is also for people that are also struggling with trying to not do cannabis or porn or anything like that ever again, what you got to understand is that these feelings come and then they go. The feeling or the urge to do it is very temporary, but you just have to ride that wave out too, as much as you ride out happiness, right? Let's say you get a new promotion at work, or you get like a large sum of money one day, or someone compliments you. The high that you feel is very temporary, as morbid and as it sounds, but it is very realistic. You're going to be happy for like an hour or two, but then it'll go away. Same thing with being sad, right? But because I think humans just, we are for some reason very masochistic, I think, and we only focus on the negative. You take what the negative things that happen to you and the negative ways that you feel about yourself, and even though those feelings may last for an hour or 2 hours, depending on how spiritually conscious of your own subconscious as you are, you kind of take the negative and then make that the story of your life. But those feelings are just as temporary as the happiness that you feel. So you may feel like shit, that'll go away in a few hours. You may feel really happy, that'll go away in a few hours. And then you apply that same formula to the urge to smoke weed again, to vape again. That's another thing too. On top of this sobriety streak, I also just stopped vaping as well. Nicotine. I've always been proud of myself, and always been very pleased with myself on how easy it is for me to just not vape anymore. Like, because I was also on a kick too, where I was like, all right, I'm only gonna vape on the weekends because I was telling myself I need the nicotine. I need to, be as sharp as possible. That would, you know, vaping nicotine would be like the pre-workout version of being a professional fighter or working out, because as you know, nicotine, it makes you sharper, it makes you, you know, gives you that boost on top of consuming B12 during the day. Like, that's all it is for me, is just how can I be as funny and as sharp as possible. The urge passes, the urge will pass, you know. So that's my two cents, though. That's as much advice I can give you, is just kind of, and once you get past that urge, once you get past that feeling of loneliness, once you get past that feeling of anger or sadness, and you just sit in it for a while, you come out better. Things come out, you get happier. You become proud of yourself because of this new identity that you have assumed, which is like, oh, I'm a warrior, I'm very strong, I'm very resilient, I have an iron mind, I can make it past these things. Now on to masculinity. I'm going to make a video about this. Like, I tried my hardest to write a monologue about this, but I'm like, dude, I just need to record the episode. So I apologize to the two people that, you know, listen to this. I may obviously write a monologue about this in the 15-to-8-minute video thing that I was telling you about that I've seen other content creators do. But, and, you know, I might put it in the background of like anime or whatever. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm still focusing on the marketing. I'm still figuring out the marketing of this show and how to get more people to listen to it and how to put ads out or whatever. But they're back to the masculinity conversation because Andrew Tate visited the United States very recently. We're back to it again. I'll say this. I'm tired of seeing people go on social media and do these interviews and do these podcasts where they're like, well, I think we need to reconstruct and redefine masculinity. It has been 7 years since we've started this conversation. Clearly, none of you know what the hell you're talking about. Andrew Tate in that time has become more popular, not less. So clearly, this reconstruction and redefining is not working. It's just not. You know what young men such as myself want. You've heard our arguments. We've listed our demands, and we have since been mocked and shamed for it. And it's just not. It seems as if the culture has reached an impasse. It seems very much so that I was in an argument with a woman once, and she said something to me. Even though she was wrong, emotionally, she won the argument. She goes, I don't feel like I'm being heard by you, even though everything she said was absolutely incorrect. And for some reason, that the weight of that statement destroyed any kind of logical argument that I had behind what she felt at that time. I don't think young men in this country feel like they're being heard by anybody, which is why they go off and they support guys like Andrew Tate or Nick Fuentes or Tristan Tate or any of these Alpha Male Red Pill podcasts. Now, I'm not sure how, if I've given my opinion on any of these people. I mean, I have before. Yes, it is very easy for you to get down a rabbit hole of just not liking an entire gender. And then there are other people such as myself that use a lot of the information as actionable intelligence, which is what I like to say. Like, I know this about how both men and women operate. I know this and that and the third about gender dynamics. How can I use this to my advantage? How can I use this to win? How can I use this to go out and acquire the types of relationships and connections that I want? Unfortunately, other people do not possess this type of mentality, or at least they haven't discovered it yet. It's very, very difficult to do so, especially when you're young, when you're 17, 18, 19. And you have all these emotions and all the and there's lack of male guidance, and then all the male figures you see on movies and TV shows are pussies. They become cucks, and every episode you see now of a TV show is just like a guy in his 40s and 50s, where like a teenager needs to explain something to them in a very condescending way, and just the optics of seeing that, very, very unaspirational. And I will say this, you know, as someone who has been a bad roommate at times and who has had bad roommates, just not even just where I currently live, but I mean in other places like in Beacon Avenue or Glen Avenue or Division, whatever, places that I used to live. You know, when you're, I mean, I imagine this is the same thing for married couples too. I mean, when you're in a situation where it feels like people can't talk to you, or you're living with like very like, I guess, like avoidant people, and this is just for relationships as well. What they'll do is they'll go off and do things that benefit themselves, like almost look low key behind your back, which is why this is exactly why Kamala Harris convinced her female voters to lie to their husbands. Because they didn't feel as if they were being heard by anyone, even though they were dead wrong and didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. Same thing on the flip side with young men in this country. We've already spoken adamantly about how we hate how we're being portrayed in movies, TV shows, and even in this case in video games. A lot of it is misguided. A lot of it is just projection. But some of it, I think, is very founded in reality. And they did not feel as if they were being heard by anybody. So then as a result, they fall into the arms of the likes of Andrew Tate, you know? And in terms that maybe liberals can understand, Andrew Tate is the cult leader, and young men are the hot, impressionable girls with tiny waists and maybe like one or two body counts, maybe like one hand job when they were in, elementary school, you know? So, I mean, they're back to doing this again. I've had it with the masculine. I've had it with the movies that go over like, oh, here's what it's like to be a boy in America. And I'm just. They did that trailer for, what's that trailer called? Where they're, and people on social media were like, okay, Adolescence. Right? And it was so funny because people pointed out, they go, oh, this is the one time Netflix actually whitewashed a character because they know that the story this is based off of was a black kid stabbing another black girl. And they didn't want to put that out there or whatever. I don't know. That could be the case. That could not be. I don't know. They said it is not based entirely off of one person. But it just felt, if you go back and you watch that trailer, it just feels very out of place when the guy talks about like body count or some shit, where he like regurgitates like a talking point you've seen on the manosphere or whatever. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I am still young. I don't think that kids talk like that. I don't think that they call it the Manosphere. The only people that I've ever seen referred to the Red Pill as the Red Pill are not the people in it themselves, unless they're part of a social media content campaign. Like, unless it's like Twitter or you make content, they don't talk like that. I don't think they identify as that either. I could be wrong, but it just felt very out of place, and it felt very like salacious. It felt too contrived, and it felt very theatrical. I'll wait till the movie actually comes out and maybe I can watch it. But I mean, can we maybe cut it out with the, that'd be like if to this day I still was like, why are women so upset? You see, like, how it just doesn't, do you see how it's like, okay, clearly you're just actively ignoring what anyone is saying. There's no way you don't know what people are talking about when they say this, that, and the third. It just seems as if young men are living in a country where only the female counterparts are allowed to discuss why they're upset. My go-to example, well, one of my go-to examples for this, a lot of you don't remember, but it was right after the Me Too movement where female, you know, rage was at an all-time high. Do you remember when, you know, there was a, where right after the Me Too movement, there was like award shows where you almost kind of dreaded hearing the women go up and talking because you know they were going to like throw a jab at men. Remember when Emma Stone went on stage and was like, these four men and Greta Gerwig. Remember that? Right. Was that appropriate, do you think? Gee, why did we run into the arms? I'm trying to understand this. Do you guys remember when there was an article that came out that literally counted how many words and how many lines in a movie women from, like, the 70s all the way up until the 2010s had in every movie compared to men? They literally went back and they counted this and they made an article about it. And it's like, sure, have that article, but I don't get why that is considered appropriate or why that's allowed. But I can't just be like, yeah, if I was dating a woman, I kind of wouldn't want her to be a thought. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Shut the fuck up. Get all that. So I'll never forget when that woman said that to me. She said, you know, I just don't feel like I feel unheard by you. Fascinating. So we're at 57 now. And I mean, we're going to cut this. I mean, yeah, we've kind of done it now. You know, there's not much else I needed to say about this. I mean, you know, this wasn't that funny, but still very introspective. I mean, I'm more so just using this as a journal right now. I did set out. My intentions when I came back was to make it sort of espionage-like and kind of talk about spy shit. Got kind of lost doing that while, I mean, producing this. But I still had fun. I know people that listened to this had fun. But other than that, yeah, that's my two cents on this whole This dumbass masculinity conversation that we keep having and we've been having for the past several years. I will make another video about this, more punchier. But yeah, maybe cut it out I think we need to redefine. Stop listening to other guys who are not examples that we would look to as a role model. It's never a guy that people, generally speaking, look up to that we think, you know. And I really do feel bad for people that are trying to compete with the Tates right now. It's like, none of you fight. None of you are rich. None of you have hoes. You just cannot compete. All you're doing when you shit talk him is you're telling everybody, my opinions don't stand on themselves. My opinions require me to put him down in order for me to elevate myself or other people. And that's just unfortunate. It's not helping at all. Links are going to be in the show notes, as well as wherever I'll be performing afterwards. I'm back to posting more consistently on social media, so be on the lookout for my new sketches, and listen to me, watch me live on TikTok from Monday to Friday at 12 a.m. and all other hours of the day whenever I can. It's been a fun ride, guys, and I really appreciate, you know, the two or three of you that listened to this from start to finish. So yeah, you know, hopefully more people in the long run. I mean, you know, that's another thing too I've noticed is, like, you know, a lot of videos, people kind of go out of their way to make a video viral, like right after it comes out, like a few hours after it comes out, and that does happen, especially if you already have the fan base. But you know, another thing I've noticed after being in this business for 5 years is that certain videos will just become viral over time. Like, you'll post a video, it'll get 7 views, and then maybe like 2 years later or something like that, a bunch of people kind of stumble across it, and it just gets shared wildly. You know, this has happened to me like once or twice, not like super hyper shared, but like I've seen this definitely happen to other people. So yeah, who knows? I'll do 20 episodes, and maybe in a couple of weeks after that, while I'm on hiatus, I'll get hundreds of thousands of views. Who knows? Who knows? Wouldn't that be something? I'll see you guys later.